Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is William Tincup, and you're listening to the Recruiting Daily Podcast. Amy is with us today. We are broadcasting from the iSolve Connect User Conference in Palm Springs. I didn't think y'all could top Nashville. This is better than Nashville. I love Nashville.
Palm Desert is pretty spectacular right now.
Pretty spectacular. And evidently from the folks in California that I've talked to, this is the time to be out here.
It is. However, we are in a heat wave, even for the desert right now.
So let's. What is a heat wave in the desert?
105 in October.
Is that a heat wave? Really? When someone says you're going to the desert, do you expect? Is the expectation?
Okay. Is it 125? No.
There you go.
But I'm not sure there's too much difference between 105 and 125.
At a certain point, it's just hot. My wife and I went to the University of Arizona for our graduate degrees, and I was telling Ron about this, that after about a year or so, your pores open up.
Absolutely.
Your pores get bigger, and you don't sweat.
No.
It just, your perspiration just evaporates.
No, it's incredible.
So, and you get used to it. Like, it's a different type of beauty. Like, when you get off the airplane, first of all, it's a great airport, and everything's kind of brown and rocky and
stuff. It's very brownish, pinkish.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's a different type of beauty. Once you start digging into it, you start seeing the different types of plants and cactus and all that type of stuff. It's actually really pretty.
It's amazing. I spent all of my summers as a child in Sedona, Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
Spectacular.
Painted desert.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've got my son wanting to go there because every time he sees a great sunset, he's like, is that like Tucson? I'm like, no. No, son. You don't understand the level of the game that's being played in Arizona. A Texas sunset. No, I don't care how good it is.
It's the dry heat, too. It's so much easier to just live in than you know, the humidity of the South, for example.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I got married in Birmingham, so I'm familiar with humidity. Humidity is like, that's what we do in the South.
Absolutely.
Like, we do it well.
You were baking in that suit.
Yeah. Now, 105 there. Steaming. In 100% humidity? Mm. Yeah.
I've been in Memphis in August. I know what that feels like.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about this year's Connect. What's been exciting for you?
First of all, the scale.
Yeah.
Just so many more customers, so many more network partners, so many more people to network with. It's been, honestly, an incredibly positive experience for me as the head of people at iSolve.
Yeah, these are your people.
These are my people. It is incredible to see just the amount of interest, I think, not just in the technology, of course, but just in each other.
Yep.
And in the discussions are really about best practice, a lot more about how do we scale our businesses? How do we get to the next level? We're out of that whole like pandemic, how do we survive kind of thing. Now we're in the optimize mode. I think culturally, you know, from HR everywhere, right, is what I'm feeling right now, and it's a really positive vibe.
Well, Ryan and I interviewed a bunch of customers yesterday, and a theme that kind of came across all of the customers was they want to actually increase the product offering. So, like, if they don't have performance, they want performance. If they don't have time and attendance, they want the time and attendance. So it's like, rarely do you go to a user conference where they're like, we want more. Like, we have this, but we want the other stuff, too.
Isn't that amazing? I think that's some of the beauty of iSolve, though. You know, the modular technology, the ease in implementation, the offerings, even for small market, like, you can't get this anywhere else. You just can't. It's not realistic.
No.
But it certainly is for iSolve. And the customer service doesn't wane. Like, that's how people come back.
I think it's gotten better.
I agree.
I
agree.
I don't know if that's a pandemic, pre-pandemic, or post-pandemic thing, but that was yet another theme yesterday. Is like, we like our people. Like, we like dealing with, like, if something, I can't find out a login, you know, whatever the bit is, I can't do this. I got a team.
Yes.
Like, they think of y'all as an extension of their team.
I totally agree with that. And when do you work for an organization where your customers hug you?
Yeah.
When they see you.
I know.
Right. It's incredible.
There's a lot of hugging.
A lot
of hugging, folks.
A lot of love happening over here.
There is a consent form, however, that everyone signs at the beginning of the conference. Are you a hugger? If you're not a hugger, then you go.
You wear a badge.
You got a pin. No hugging. You know, whatever. Hey, we don't want to get anybody into trouble.
It's fine. It takes all kinds, right? Yeah. But I am amazed every year at how much love we get from our customers. And we love them too,
right?
But I feel like the service level, to your point, has even improved significantly, I think, over the last couple of years. That has a lot to do with the people that we're hiring at iSolve.
100%.
And the talent is incredible. Interestingly, I'm a little something out of the back here. We're getting a lot of incoming
calls,
right? We're getting a lot of incoming calls from our competitor companies, from employees there that want, that have heard the iSolve culture is incredible, and they want the culture. They're like, it's not about the money anymore. It's not about anything else. It's really
for
about
something I believe in.
Yes. I want to work somewhere where it's fun and exciting and people care about each other. Like that.
There's only been a few, and we won't go into names, but there's only been a few in our industry, HR tech plays, that were actually great at HR, that actually cared about HR, that went in and did one best places to work, great places to work.
Yeah.
And they were actually great places to work. Then you could tell that there were people first, people centric types of businesses.
Yeah.
Ever since I've been interacting with iSolve, I just know it's not a bit. Like, it's, you know, sometimes it's a marketing bit.
Yeah.
This isn't a marketing bit.
No.
I've dealt with enough of the executives
it's
and
sincere.
Enough of the customers.
Yeah.
This is actually the people.
It really is.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I came on board about 4 years ago, I was really excited about the people already. And I had been a client before.
Yep.
And I knew a lot of the members of the team, and I really felt like, wow, this is incredible. We can just take this to the next level. The foundation was already there from a cultural perspective.
Right.
And because I don't create the culture.
Right.
You know, the employees create the culture. They're just I enable them.
Right.
Right. And they did this, and they do this every day. And it's interesting to see now a big influx of new employees coming on board that are like, show me how you do this. Like, I want to be a part.
Well, you've established you've established what's norm and the social norms. This is what's expected.
Yes.
If you don't put customers first, you're not going to last.
Yes.
You know, if you don't care about the employees too, if you don't put employees, you know, and care about employees, you're not going to make it.
Yes. And it's really interesting to see, you know, caring about people doesn't cost any money.
No.
It's not an investment at all from a monetary perspective.
No, all you got to do is care.
It's certainly an investment in time and focus,
yep.
But it's well worth it. The ROI on it is
100%.
Significant.
So you won't remember this. However, I do. You were one of my first podcasts in the pandemic. So this is January, February.
I remember this.
Okay. So you remember
William.
The term that you coined?
From then?
From then that I've since stole and used everywhere?
I've slept since then, William.
Okay,
I have no...
Radical flexibility. Radical flexibility. Because I asked you, I said, how are you dealing with all this madness? She's like, you said, William, everything's up for sale. It's radical flexibility. Onboarding, radical.
Yeah.
Like, what can we do differently? Compensation, what can we do? Like, everything that we thought we were going to do a certain way, or we've done a certain way. All for grabs.
You know, we continue to do that.
I think
it's really working. After the pandemic, we decided from a cultural perspective internally that we were going to put as much effort into engagement and enablement remotely as we do in office.
Smart.
And so we just went, like, not 50-50, we went 100-100, right? And it made a huge difference in the way that we could acquire talent and our ability to onboard. I'm going to tell you, we just set up a BPO nearshore operation with an incredible company called Solvo in Medellin, Colombia, which is an amazing
beautiful
place. And I've been down there quite a lot here in the last 9 months. But because we focused on that, our ability to onboard individuals in that particular instance has also been incredibly successful. And several of our network partners also have relationships with this particular company, and they do a great job with HCM. So, and they're culturally very aligned. So for our CEO, 100%. that was the first thing. He's like, look, you got to go find another partner because they're going to be helping you acquire talent that understands why we acquire talent in this way.
Well, Colombian people, I've spent some time down there myself.
Oh.
Colombian people are warm and friendly and they care. Like, it
hard
is
working, just enthusiasm coming out of their port. Like, it's refreshing is what it is.
Right. Yeah. Well, because then you get jaded when you deal with sometimes when you deal with American talent, especially in times when things are, you know, crazy talent wise and there's scarcity, the demands, like, I'll do the deal, I need $100,000 signing bonus. You're like, what? and sometimes you have to pay for it. And sometimes you actually have to write a check.
Yeah,
I need this developer. I need this whatever. I need this person.
Right.
$100,000, I got to pay it.
We're in a very lucky situation right now where we've got people who want to come and work for us, and they don't want to do it for the money. They want to do it for the experience of growing something cool.
That's genius.
And that's what we knew we had to come to the table with, because, you know, we're a privately owned business. Yep. We're incredibly profitable. We have to stay that way, right?
I heard this. I heard a number yesterday. And if we keep increasing that number, I'm not going to say it on the radio. However, I want to be a stockholder. I'm ready. So whenever there's an opening, I wanna buy in.
You're drinking the Kool-Aid now, right. and it's bright pink. By the way,
I'm on brand. I got the socks on. You can't see me. I got the socks on.
Socks on. I've got the pink shirt on.
Amazing. Yeah. I'm on brand. I got to ask you about Connect. Your favorite part of Connect so far? So just anything, like if you could pinpoint one thing, maybe it's a speaker or a session,
you know,
or just interaction.
My favorite part of Connect so far is just, I had a meeting earlier with our account management team. That's our inside sales team. Those are the people that are selling into our customer base. And and they have a hard job, right? Yeah. And they're incredible people. But I had a meeting with them this morning, and they're smiling, they're laughing. They're enjoying talking to their customers.
Yeah.
They're enjoying spending time with each other.
You don't get that if you don't treat your customers well.
Honestly.
You avoid the customers until the renewal date.
I was so happy for them, right? And they
job becomes easier.
They've become so much easier and so much more joyful, right? Yeah. Like, it just was very near and dear to my heart to see those people that work so hard, that have so much pressure put on them, you know, feel that way and genuinely, right? They're patting each other on the back. They're congratulating each other. Again, they're talking to clients. Like, it was beautiful.
You can't sell customers more stuff if you're not doing a great job with the stuff that they've already bought.
So there's that.
But also, it makes it easier for them to then be able to go, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? You know, you might not know that we do this thing over here, whatever the product is.
Yeah.
You're not using it right now, but you know what? When you're ready, we can turn it on.
Well, that's it. And also, there's so much value add, right? If you can so sincerely say, hey, this is really helping other companies. Like, you're spending a heck of a lot of time on this, and you should automate it, right? Or get some help or build some best practice around this thing. Like, it can help your business.
And this is the whole mid-market. Y'all go up to, what, 10,000-ish?
We'll go however high we need to go, William. I'm an enterprise client of the product. I utilize the entire product myself, and we're about 2,600 employees now.
Okay. So you can go up, but you can also go down, because we've all the way down to like 50 employees.
Yeah, we can go down to 5 employees, William. It's the beauty of the product is it is so flexible. Radically flexible, radical flexibility, William.
I'm telling you, you nailed it. Listen, I know you got to get on to your next thing, but thank you so much for coming by and talking with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
All righty. And thanks for everyone listening. Until next time.